This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. We are in the postseason. We are moving on to the semifinals of the Eastern Conference. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Joining me, as always, got suspended for three games. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
What did I do?
You hit people in the head.
I am 5'8". I'm not hitting anybody in the head.
You hit someone in the shoulder.
Maybe Chris Bork. He's about my height. I can hit him in the head. Got to raise my elbow a little bit, but I'll take him out. But that's probably not even true.
Anyway, here we go. Here we go. We are done with the Flyers, finally. I think last episode we did say we expected to go to game seven, but Caps took their dear sweet time actually killing these Flyers. It looked like it was over after game three.
Violent.
Flyers came back and were able to get two extra games out of them, scaring me a little bit, making me a little anxious, making me a little nervous. But, Coach, what was it about this Flyers team that brought them back? I have a feeling I know what you're going to say, but they look dead in the water, and then they come back and win two games.
I think we all know what got the Flyers back in the game, and his name is Michael Neuvirth. Or Neuvirth. I don't really know. We used to call him Neuvirth, and now they're calling him Neuvirth. There's
weird.
A TH at the end of it, but whatever. No, I thought that he played amazing. He was phenomenal. The Capitals in game four outshot the Flyers like 750-2. I might be exaggerating by like a couple of shots, but I'm pretty sure that was accurate. No, it was like 44-11, and the Caps lost 1-0 off of the flukiest of fluke goals possible.
Yeah.
Where I don't even remember who it was. Oh, you know what it was? It was that D-bag Ryan White, the biggest crybaby. He centers a pass. He's going to call it a shot, but that was not a shot. You're full of crap, buddy. He just like centers the puck and it hits off of Taylor Chorney's skate and goes in the net. And if you're, it's just one of those things where as a player, he's kind of like, right, whatever, and shrug it off. And you're like, not much I could have done there. Like, it's clearly not intentional. We're not playing soccer. I didn't kick it into the net. It just happens. It bounced off his skate and went in. And so there's not much you can do about it. But the fact that they got 44 shots and whatever they stopped all of them is a little ridiculous. But you know what? The fact of the matter is the Capitals had to almost be perfect to beat him, and they were. In game six, and they were able to come away with that 1-0 victory. I thought it showed this team can play very solid defensively in the fact that they shut out the Flyers in game six. They kept them pretty much off of the board. I mean, they gave up what over the last three games, two of them which the Flyers won, they gave up what two goals with their goaltender in net. I mean, one was an empty net goal. So the fact of the matter is the defense for the Capitals was fine, you know, as long as Torrey's not putting pucks into his own goal. But aside from that fact, The defense, I thought, was actually very good over this entire series. Given the Flyers' offense is a little garbage, I mean, but they do have some very good players in Wayne Simmonds, in Claude Giroux, and in when he's not trying to permanently injure people, in Braden Schenn, who may end up being the biggest D-bag of them all, but we'll talk about him later. But I thought that the defense in this series was fantastic, and the goaltending, Holpe, was amazing. And I think these guys are going to have to keep it up in the next round. But as for, the offense, I think, is what we're concerned about right now. The fact that they only got something like three goals in 5-on-5 is a problem. And the next series against the Penguins, I don't think you're going to see potentially as many power play opportunities because their players are actually well-behaved-ish. You know, they're better behaved than the Flyers players, and I'm sure the fans are going to be way better than the rest. But the fact of the matter is the offense needs to wake up. I thought defensively and goaltending, the Capitals were fantastic in this series. And it would have ended a lot sooner. It would have been a four-game sweep if it wasn't for Michael Neuvirth.
Yeah, the fact that they pulled their goalie and we saw Nuvi come in, we talked about it. We ended the show last what the
we were
buck.
Calling that he was going to come in. I mean, it made no sense to keep Mason in.
And we've seen Nuvi in the past. You know, he's a former Capital. We know what Nuvi's all about. We know he can.
Even though he looks like a 12-year-old,
he does. He looks like Hello Kitty. He's a good guy. You know, he was good for us for a little while. And But we had to let him go because he wanted to go somewhere else. He wanted to be the starter.
And he now did. He did ask for a trade.
Yeah, and he's been bouncing around as the backup. And I think the main reason you see him as a backup for so many teams is because he's a guy who is great when he's great, but he does have those slumps and, like a lot of
he's
players,
injury problems as well.
Yeah, that too. And that's what a lot of teams are worried about. But I'm sure he's going to make a little bit of cash after this last showing. But thankfully, this wasn't the 2010 Montreal Canadiens. We're very happy to see that this was not another Halak moment. And that's what I think. You know, in my instant reaction for Game 5, I was not very happy. I was screaming pretty much the entire 6 minutes I was on there.
It's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, I pretty much just said, watch me yell at the Capitals for 6 minutes, and that's all I really was talking about. But Nuvi, you got to give it to him, no doubt. You know, he saved that team. The Flyers, like I said last show, like I said, instant reactions, they're ready to go play golf. They looked tired. They looked like they didn't want to play, but Nuvi was keeping them alive. He still had something to play for.
Well, I think he earned the number one spot in Philadelphia next year.
Oh, 100%.
He'd have to have a really bad camp, or Mason's going to have a really, really good camp, I think, to be the number one guy with the Flyers next season.
And Philadelphia's a hard place to be a goalie. We all know that. They go through goalies.
It's a hard place to be a person.
That's true. That's true. But like you said, I want to address this. The offense, I was really annoyed, and I brought this up again in the instant reaction. And this happened last year up against the Rangers. I hate that this team has such a hard time of changing up their game mid-game. Because Nuvi, what we saw in Game 4 was that he was giving away these rebounds. You know, he was kicking out pucks, and the puck would just go into the ice into this big open center. Like, nobody was pressuring Nuvi. That's the thing that they needed to work on, and they did. It took them a game or two to actually figure that out. They weren't pressuring the goalie. They had nobody there for those dirty goals. They were trying to do the tic-tac-toe stuff, which, while great in the regular season and it looks pretty, it's not always the way to win in the postseason. You need to pressure the goalie. You need to get in his face. You need to be able to get those dirty goals, and you need to do what you got to do to advance. And the Capitals, in my opinion, were not doing that offensively in this first round. They were playing well. They looked good. They were taking shots on goal, but they were giving up so many opportunities by not going after the rebounds and not being set up and not sitting where the puck could go. You know, if Nuvi's hitting the puck out of the air, or if he's kicking the puck, it's got to go somewhere. And never did we have a Capital player going after that puck. They were always trying to set up for the next play instead of playing it kind of like improv'd a little bit and getting ready to just go after the puck wherever it went.
I mean, we saw some opportunities where the guys were trying to get the rebounds, and to some extent they weren't going where the players were expecting. But I agree that there were times where the Caps were not – they were looking for the perfect goal. They were looking for the perfect opportunity to put the puck behind the goaltender and not just looking to put a puck on net and get a rebound, get an opportunity, and get something in front. And way too many shots were coming from the outside. I mean, that was driving me insane that they would put it back to the point and they would just take a shot. And I was like, oh, what are you doing? Like, I understand that. I was just literally just talking about the fact that they're trying to get rebounds. But if you're taking shots from the outside, the goaltender – and Neuwirth knows that his goaltending is – the issue with his goaltending is the fact that he gives up rebounds. Mm-hmm. So he was looking to catch the puck or keep it in front of him as much as possible. I think you get in close, he doesn't have as much time to get set up, and you get rebounds quicker that way, and that gives you better opportunities to get a goal. And so I was a little frustrated with the fact that they kept taking these shots from the outside. And so it's going to be different against the Penguins. I think it's going to be a much harder series. But the fact of the matter is they were able to come away because – of the defense and the goaltending, keeping the other team off the board. Like you mentioned, going up against Montreal like a number of years ago, they gave away, or they weren't able to score, and they were giving away these breakaway opportunities or these two-on-ones or three-on-ones or three-on-twos all the time because they kept pushing on offense, and the defense wasn't playing well enough. In this series, we didn't see that. Yes, mm-hmm. The other team had a couple of opportunities, but you also had a lot of guys getting back. And you didn't have as many opportunities where there were for odd man rushes for the other team. And so I think that the fact that they're playing strong defensive hockey is what will give them a chance to potentially go on and make a run through these playoffs. But they have to keep up the defensive play, and they need to get the offense to wake up even a little bit at this point.
And the other thing I want to bring up before we move on to the Penguins, this Flyers series, I am a little worried about the penalties. Because you don't win a Stanley
Cup. Justin Williams.
Yeah, you don't win a Stanley Cup. You're not a Stanley Cup team if you are taking dumb penalties. I understand, you know.
Two of them were crap in the last game.
Right. Yeah, I understand some penalties, but I think in game one with the Flyers in the first period, they gave them six freebie minutes of the Caps having to play defense and being a man down. Like you said, they got to play better 5-on-5. That's how they're going to get goals. That's how they're going to advance past the Penguins. But I'm a little worried about the fact that they're going to constantly be on defense. They're going to be the ones that are a man down, and they're having a great penalty kill. I mean, you can't say enough good things about the penalty kill, but I don't want to see them on the ice so much, because that switching the game plan around for the Capitals by being completely on defense and not trying to get the points on the board, because they're taking dumb penalties. And if there's talent in the penalty box, they're not helping you win this game. Justin Williams, great talent, but you're not helping the team out in any way by sitting in the penalty box.
That is 152% true. You cannot score goals from the penalty box.
You could try.
I'm fairly certain. I'd have to go back and check the rule book, make sure. I think I need to bring it up. But I'm fairly certain that you aren't able to score a goal or do anything aside from talk S to fans or players from the penalty box. So maybe they got some chips in there. You can have some chips. That's about it. That's all you can do. You cannot. So, yeah, I agree with you. They have to stay out of the box. They got to keep their solid players on the ice. And the fact of the matter is that when you're in the box, even if your quality guys are not in the box, they're not on the ice. You don't see a guy like Ovechkin killing penalties, so you're taking away minutes that he's on the ice and having opportunities to score. Now, you're not only going to win games by having Ovechkin score. Obviously, you're going to need to have more than just him. But for him to be on the ice, you have to make sure that you have four other players that are also allowed to be on the ice. If you're down a man, your top guys are not playing. Now, guys like TJ Oshie and Backstrom both deal penalties as well. However, it is much harder to score, especially against a high-flying, fast team like the Penguins on the PK. When you have one less person on the ice. So I agree completely. Stay out of the box. They have to stay out of the box. And if they continue playing solid defense and have fantastic goaltending and they don't give the Penguins too many opportunities with the extra man, they have a very good shot of coming out of this thing. But this is a very different Penguins team than we saw earlier in the season.
All right, now let's talk about it. Game, here we go. It's the semifinals of the Stanley Cup playoffs for the Eastern Conference. And what do you know? It's Caps-Penguins. It is two teams.
Shocker, guys!
Two teams that know each other very well. Luckily, the Capitals don't have to deal with the Rangers for a change. But this.
I kind of would have at this moment.
Yeah.
Because they suck.
This Penguins team, let's talk about that. The fact that the Rangers. Penguins had Lundqvist pulled. Holy crap. I mean, how often do you see Lundqvist pulled from a playoff game? That's astounding.
It's not very often.
Yeah, not at all. But let's talk about the Penguins. They look great. They look scary. This is a hot team. Their goaltending is a little suspect because we don't really know who's going to be doing what. But
well,
this...
Fleury's got it. I think he's still Fleury's still doing with concussion issues.
But
they had their third stringer playing, what, the first game or two?
Yeah. But Fleury was in full pads today at practice. So he's getting ready to come back.
Even during the season, I mean, he had times where he wasn't playing great. Fleury's been known for a lot of his career that he's a streaky goaltender. So I think if you can get in his head a little bit, then you have an opportunity to sort of cause problems for him. So I think it's going to be interesting what they decide to do, the Penguins, in terms of who's playing. Because, I mean, the other guy just won him, Matt Murray, he just won him a series. Not won them. I mean, clearly the other guys did as well. But he was the one man behind them. In front of the net. I mean, that's going to be an interesting thing for the Penguins going forward in terms of who they're going to protect when it comes, when eventually, if they do, have the, I wanted to call it a fantasy draft, but that's not right. Expansion draft. See, I'm already ready for fantasy hockey for next season. When they have the expansion draft, it's going to be interesting to see what they decide to do in terms of who they're going to protect. But I think this Murray kid's also a very good goaltender. But I think whether it's Fleury or Murray, the Capitals, I think, have the edge right now in goaltenders with Braden Holtby, because, I mean, he is the odds-on Vezina favorite at the moment. I think he's one of the best goaltenders in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
He was this season. It helped maybe a little bit that Carey Price was out. But he's an outstanding goaltender, top five in the league. And I think that if the defense, like I've been saying, the defense keeps playing solid, keeps him upright, doesn't let guys take runs at him, and you know, Holtby keeps doing what he does well, they're going to be okay. It's interesting. Have we ever heard anything about Orpik?
I know he practiced today. He says that he doesn't know if he'll be ready for game one. He's still kind of hearing from what doctors have to say. But he did practice with the team. It wasn't one of those practices where he's by himself beforehand. He was in full pads with the team today. So it looks like he has potential of playing game one, but it's only 2 days away. So he's kind of still a question mark right now.
I think he's out for one game. You're okay. I think you can make do. I think Weber looked fine against the Flyers. You know, I think here Chorney is a solid replacement for a little while, but, you know, Chorney didn't have the greatest game. I don't blame him for the goal, but he didn't have the greatest one in when he played. And I thought Weber was okay, but I think having Arpik back would definitely be a better thing for this team overall.
Yeah, so let's just look at this Penguins team as a whole. I mean, they really have gone for a run. They looked like they were, you know, they weren't anything special at the beginning of the season, but then they really turned their jets on and they're still going and they're looking great. So, like you said, the defense played really well in this Flyers series. The offense was a little suspect. The goaltending's still great. But what do we have to do as a team as a whole to defeat these Penguins? Because they're solid. I mean, this is not like the Flyers team where they look tired and like they didn't want to be there. This is a team that's ready to go all the way, and they're going to fight for it.
Well, when the Penguins fired their head coach, it was Mike Johnston. They brought in Mike Sullivan, and they just completely changed their game. It was less of a strict not that they're not disciplined, but it was like a very – think more like Dale Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, you have to be right here at this moment doing this, whereas Sullivan, it's a little more open. Their game is very fast. I mean, the Penguins are a very fast, high-scoring team. It's going to be a very different series. It's not necessarily going to be a lot of cheap shots. I think the Penguins are better disciplined in that way. You don't have guys like Rocco Gudas and Ryan White and Braden Schenn going around and trying to permanently injure people because they're a bunch of D-backs. You have players who are high-scoring offensive guys that you're going to have to worry about. It's not just shutting down Claude Giroux and Wade Simmons. You're going to have to worry about Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin. You're going to have Phil Kessel's fat ass running around. You're going to have that guy just looks like a fat guy. You're going to have to worry about a ton of very talented players on the Penguins that play very well together, and you're going to have to worry about, you know, Chris Letang back on the point. If you have, pretty sure he's playing unless he got injured again. You're going to have – I mean, it's going to be a very different series. The Penguins are a very different team than the Flyers, much, much better team. But that's how it works. When you progress in the playoffs, you're going to end up likely playing against better teams. Now, the interesting thing is I'll bet you whoever comes out of this series from the Caps and the Pens, they're going to represent the East in the finals. I don't know if Tampa – or the Islanders, and we're going to talk about those guys later. If either one of those have the team to really beat either the Caps or the Pens going forward. So I do think whoever comes out of the series is going to be representing the East in the Stanley Cup Finals.
I completely agree with you. You know, everybody on NHL radio is saying that the Cup is going out West again, but if there were any teams out there that could actually give a West team a little run for their money, it would be the Caps or the Penguins. I kind of have to agree with them there. I think Caps, Pens are
the two popular West teams aren't even in it anymore.
I know. Yeah, that's even scarier to think about, but the Caps and the Penguins, they both are phenomenal teams. Biggest thing, though, they have a superstar, Sidney Crosby, there, and the dude cries and he moans, and he can play some good hockey when he wants to, but what do the Capitals have to do to make sure that they can limit, how do they shut down Sidney Crosby? Ovechkin's always a guy who's got a target on his back. He's got 2 to 3 guys around him at all times, usually. So what do the Caps have to do to make sure that the Penguins superstar is a non-factor. A non-factor. That's the word. Thank you.
There you go. That's what I do, man. That's what I do. No, I think you just played the same way you play. Not, I mean, to some extent, the same way you played against Giroux and Simmons. You try and limit their opportunities, and you play smart against them, and you get in his head a little bit. I think you give him a little extra push, a little extra shove. Not anything where you're trying to permanently injure him, but just, you know, you let him know you're there. You're not going for his head or anything like that, but you're getting physical with him. And it seems like his game in the past, he can be a very physical player, but I think he's always gotten really irritated when people have been overly physical with him, and he gets a little whiny about it, and he complains, and he cries. And so I think if you do that with him and if you get in his head, it's gonna disrupt his game a little bit. But the guy I'm actually a little more worried about right now is Malkin, because I think he is an outstanding player. And he doesn't care about getting hit necessarily. Like, he, I mean, all guys complain, he hit me, put him in the penalty. put him in a box just because they want that extra opportunity. But I think that Malkin is also can be a very physical guy and doesn't mind it and can play off it very well. If you try and do too much or if he sees it coming, he'll make you look stupid. So I think with these guys both, I mean, Crosby can do that too. So I think the biggest thing is limiting their opportunities, but also making sure that you are not paying attention to them too much, that you're giving their other players an opportunity to step up and make something happen. Because this is, you know, this is the part where in the playoffs where some guys make a name for themselves. I mean, you have players that you never even heard about before that are suddenly scoring goals every night or every other night because teams are paying too much attention to the stars and they're taking this opportunity to go and score.
All right. Now, another thing that the Capitals have to worry about, like you said, Malkin's a great talent. He's somebody you got to think about. Crosby, of course, former Capital Eric Fair. He's making a name for himself on this Penguins team. It's so sad to see him in those colors. But Eric Fair was a Capital for a very long time, his entire career, except for 1 year with Winnipeg. Then he came back to the Capitals and now he's a Penguin.
Yeah. And I called it on Twitter.
You did.
Like an hour before he got signed.
You did. But he's another one the Capitals now have to worry about because he's really shined. Like you said, guys, maybe a lot of, you know, common player or common fans or bandwagon fans maybe not have heard of before. Eric Fair is one of those guys that he's kind of making a name for himself to those common fans, those middle-of-the-road fans. So what do you think the Capitals have to do for Eric Fair? Because he's also going to be a threat for the Penguins.
I think they know his game, and they play guys who can be physical like him but also have the offensive skill in the previous series against the Flyers. I think he's played the same way. I think in the end, it just comes down to playing solid offense or defense. Duh. I think it just comes down to being able to continue to play solid defensively and not trying to do too much and keeping your game relatively simple and smart and staying out of the box and not giving these guys extra opportunities to score goals. You know, keep the rebounds to the outside. Don't let guys get in front of the goalie and screen and get those easy opportunities for to clean up the garbage. And I think they'll be okay, but they have to make sure they play smart. This is going to be – ideally, this is going to be a long series. They're not going to win every game, and they have to make sure they don't let too much of what happens get in their head.
That's good. Absolutely. We saw it. I said it last time. The Penguins came to town. The Penguins are agitators. They're very good at egging on the Capitals. Capitals usually fall right into their hands. They get off their game. They start playing the Penguins game, and they start taking dumb penalties. Just like against the Flyers, they cannot take those dumb penalties. And as much as you want to punch one of the Penguin players in the head, you can't do it because you'll take a penalty for it.
Don't be Braden Shen.
Yeah, don't do that. And the Penguins will be trying, I think, very hard to get underneath the Capital skin and do that. We saw that with Crosby versus Oshie. I think it was the last game. And Oshie got, you know, a five-minute or major or something like that, even though Crosby was the one that started the whole fight. So what the Capitals really have to do is they have to keep their composure. They got to play their game. And when the Penguins start agitating and start focusing on agitating the other team to get opportunities, just forget about it. Move on and don't let them dictate how the Capitals play.
I agree completely. I think if you, yeah, don't let them get under your skin. Stay, play smart. I know it's hard, you know, when you're in the heat of battle, as they say, and you're fighting for the puck and every last bit, and it's the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you want to extend your season. But I think this is a different Caps team than we've seen in the past. I think they're a much more disciplined team. They have a coaching staff that's able to keep them reeled in. And I think as long as they play smart and not like Justin Williams in game five, where he took like three penalties in the first period, and you're just like, what the hell are you doing? Are you trying to get to a game seven? What is wrong with you? So as long as they don't do anything stupid, I think that they have a fighting shot.
All right, so you already said it. You think it's going to go full seven games?
I would not be surprised at all to see it go seven games. I would not be shocked at all. I think it is positive the Caps have the, you know, four of the set, potentially four of the seven on home ice, but I wouldn't be shocked at all this goes seven games. And it's, I mean, it's, obviously I'm not going to make a prediction because I am the kiss of death, but I do think that this has definitely the opportunity to go seven games. This is going to be a very exciting series for everyone, especially if you are not a fan of either one of these teams because you don't care. But for fans of the Caps or Penguins, it's going to be very – it's you know what? It's reducing our years of existence on this planet. That's what it's doing. Very stressful.
It is very stressful.
Very stressful.
very special time to be a Caps fan or a Penguins fan. But man, this is definitely going to be one for the record books. I still go back. I have one of the games.
It's gonna be tough.
Yeah, I have the game. I think it's from 2009, where it was Ovi and Crosby got dueling hat tricks in one of the games. This is back when it was it was Versus is the channel that was. It wasn't NBC Sports. It was Versus back then. But that's what's going to be like. I think it's going to be that type of series. It's going to go seven games. It's going to be back and forth. I don't think either team is going to get a blowout in any of the games. It's going to be tight games, probably 2-on-1, 3-to-1 maybe. And I bet you we at least get a double overtime game.
Man, they're already starting late. I can't have that. I got to work the next day. We can't be going until 12 o'clock. What are you doing? I got TV shows I got to watch. Come on.
I'm so backed up. I haven't watched Fear the Walking Dead at all.
What are you doing?
I've been busy. Watching Caps hockey. All right, anything else we should talk about before we leave Caps world?
I don't think so. We know Brayton Shen had a meeting with the NHL Department of Player Safety for his hit on TJ Oshie. We found out just a little while ago what happened to him, but we'll get into that later when we go around the NHL. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Caps fan starts Thursday, 8 o'clock on NBC Sports Network. It's going to be crazy.
Crazy game. And good thing the schedule came out today, because Coach Ed and I were going to put off having a show until Thursday. We're going to record. So thanks for putting that schedule out when you did, Caps.
We do appreciate that. Finally, earlier we're texting, so do we record tonight? Do we record Thursday? What do you want to do? That would have been awkward. Like, you text me tomorrow night, so we got to record now. The game's in like 24 hours.
That would be hard, because I work until 11:30 tomorrow. So
can you record it at midnight? I'd be like, yeah, no. I cannot. We can do it at 6:30, right before the show, or before the game. Never mind. Like, we could have done it right before the game on Thursday, but it wouldn't have come out until like the game started or after.
Yeah.
So
what do you think's going to happen during game one? Oh, I don't know. And then
I'm going to predict. No, like, how did he know?
All right, guys, that's it for Caps World this week. We're going to go down on the farm and talk about the playoffs for the AHL and ECHL and the Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. But before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, Hershey is currently in their first round series against Portland, where they are tied at one game each after the first two games were in Portland. They come home for game three on Thursday, with game four being on Saturday, and game five is on Sunday. The first round in the AHL is a best of five. So first one of three moves on.
Is this Portland? This isn't Portland, Oregon, right?
No, Portland, Maine. Portland Pirates, the former AHL affiliate of these Washington Capitals.
Okay, Portland, Maine, because I was going to say, that is one hell of a commute for a first round.
That's a hike.
Yeah.
I don't think Portland, Oregon would be in the East.
No, I don't either. I was really confused.
Last time I looked at a map, I don't think that's how it worked. But I'm just guessing. It's been a little while. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays defeated Kalamazoo in their first round, 4-1. It was a whooping. The Stingrays next take on Adirondack in the Eastern Conference semifinals, starting with game one on Friday, game two's on Saturday, and game three is Tuesday. That's what's going on down in the playoff farm.
Sounds like the whole Caps organization's doing really well. Bears going well. The Stingrays are doing well. The Caps are doing well. Got plenty of trophies to bring home the end of this season. So that's it for what's going on down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody. Here we go. We are going around the NHL. Some people aren't going around the NHL. They're going around the golf course because they are finished. Some of them are going to miss games in October because they're jerks. Plenty of stuff is going on. So, Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Speaking of golf course, did you see the LA Kings Twitter account?
No.
Whoever runs their account is my hero.
Okay.
I want everyone to know that. Because first of all, after they got knocked out, they threw their hat in the Capitals ring saying they are now going to back the Capitals to win the cup because of Justin Williams, number one. Number two, the picture they posted then was Williams with that gigantic afro thing from the Caps team picture. And number three, when they got knocked out, the avatar now for the LA Kings is – I want to say it's Anze Kopitar, and he's on a golf course.
He's wearing one of the Trump hats, and it says, make EA NHL 17 great again.
And I believe it's him on a golf course, right? Or am I wrong there?
No, it's something behind him. It looks like water to me. Maybe it's a...
Shoot. That's different than the one it used to be when they got knocked out. They changed it since.
Okay.
Okay, so it used to be. I think they changed it, but it was still pretty funny. But I don't know if you've ever seen any of the stuff they've done before, but the guy who runs the LA Kings Twitter account is amazing.
Oh, there he is. There's Justin Williams with that crazy hair.
But they have had some really great comments on there, and like people trying to make fun of them, and great responses and things like that. And like the NHL Twitter guys, some of them are really funny, and their responses and things. So. Yeah, but anyways, that I just had to bring that up since you brought up the golf course thing because it was still pretty funny. But anyways, earlier we talked about Braden Schenn. He got a talking to from the NHL, and they came down on him, suspending him for 3 games for his check to the head of TJ Oshie. So he will miss the first 3 games starting next season for being a D-back. Vancouver signed Marcus Granlund to a 2-year extension. So that's pretty much the news around the NHL. Let's go into the playoffs. We're currently, Brandon, you and I are not doing so well.
No.
In regards to our predictions, Tampa knocked out Detroit in 5. We were both wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
The Islanders knocked out Florida in 6. We were wrong there. Doing great so far.
How the hell did that happen?
The Islanders woke up and, you know, the Florida Panthers, or it's Florida, they're old, and they didn't wake up yet. They're still in bed sleeping, and that's what's happened. So, yeah, we're doing great so far, 0-2. Pittsburgh knocked out the Rangers in 5. Got that one right.
Yeah.
Team-wise, I think we thought it was going to go longer games, so...
I thought it was going to go 7. I mean, it's Lundqvist. Yes. It's friggin' Lundqvist to the postseason.
So we're half right, so we get half a point. So we had 0.5 out of 3. Great start. Dallas knocked out Minnesota in 6. We got that one!
All right.
Yeah! St. Louis knocked out Chicago in 7. Got that wrong. And did you see, did you see who scored the game-winning goal in Game 7?
Mr. Troy Brouwer.
Mr. Troy Brouwer, indeed. Dancing Troy Brouwer. He knocked out the reigning Stanley Cup champs. San Jose knocked out L.A. in 5.
That's shocking.
We got that wrong, and that is your Western Conference Stanley Cup favorite. So, Brandon, you're screwed.
I was expecting the West to be in the finals for the West, Chicago versus L.A., and that's not happening.
How'd that work out for you, buddy?
That's not happening at all now. I did not see San Jose advancing in any way. I figured, you know, they have bad luck in the playoffs all the time. Chicago knows what they're doing, so I figured that they would know what to do, but whatever. The last game, though, Anaheim-Nashville, that's all tied 3-3. It's one game left, and
only series still going is Anaheim and Nashville. I'm calling it now. If Nashville wins that game, Boudreau's out. He's done. He's fired.
So there were only 2 series that went to the full 7. It was St. Louis and Chicago, yes. And Anaheim and Nashville.
Nobody got swept.
Yeah, nobody got swept. That's interesting.
2 5s, 3 5s, 3 6s, and looks like we're going to have 2 7s.
Do you think it matters if a team beats one of the teams in 5 games or 6 games? Do you think that's a big deal? I mean, you get an extra day of rest, but does that matter?
Nah. In regards to their future?
Yeah.
Not really.
All right. Just
maybe a little bit. But I mean, it can help you a little bit in terms of having an extra day of rest, but I don't think it makes that big of a deal. I mean, we're talking like 4-7. That's not bad.
All right, so do you want to talk about what we're going to see in the West? So what do we have? We have Dallas versus St. Louis, and we have San Jose versus potentially Anaheim or Nashville.
Yeah, so we have – all right, so you want to do those?
Yeah.
All right, so we got what you say, Dallas and St. Louis. Who do you got?
I'm going to go Dallas.
I don't know. St. Louis surprised everybody. I know initially I had Dallas going all the way in the West. I'm going Dallas and 7.
Dallas and 7. I'm going to say
I don't know. Actually, that's a tough one.
I know. That's going to be a good one to watch.
St. Louis surprised everybody. I think Dallas – I'm going to go Dallas and 7.
I'll say Dallas and 6.
Ooh, less faith in the St. Louis Blues in their Montgomery Blue Devil hockey-looking uniforms. All right, San Jose and Anaheim.
I mean, I had San Jose not advancing at all, and I think I had Anaheim advancing. So I would say Anaheim, just given the fact that I thought they would go farther than San Jose, but now I don't know because they beat the Kings 4-1. So I'm kind of feeling – all right, so if it's San Jose, Anaheim, I'm going to say San Jose. But if it's Nashville, San Jose, I'm going to say Nashville.
I'm going San Jose either way.
Really? Okay.
I think they showed up beating up L.A., and I think they're for real now. I think the San Jose is going to knock out either one. I'm going either one, Anaheim in 6, Nashville in 5.
Ooh, okay. Either way, I think it's going to go to 7. Either way. Either team.
Tampa and the Islanders.
Man, that could have been some good Florida hockey if it was Panthers and Lightning.
Would it have been, though? It would have been Florida hockey, but well, would it have been good?
For Florida, it would have been good hockey.
Come on, Brandon. Be honest.
Given the fact I didn't think either of these teams are going to get any farther, I'm going to say Tampa Bay. I still don't see the Islanders as a threat. I don't. Tampa Bay in 5.
Tampa in 7.
Okay. Full 7. Okay. And we're not going to jinx the Capitals.
No. No, I'm staying as far away from that one as humanly possible. Nope.
I will say full 7 games for that series. I'm not saying who's going to win, but full 7.
I would agree with that.
All right, so is that it for the show this week?
Yeah, that's pretty much what we got, man. I mean, we're about to move on after tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah,
I think it's Game 7 for Anaheim and Nashville. So yeah, we're moving on to the next round.
Congratulations, Caps! Congratulations, Caps fans!
Here we go. You didn't choke.
Yeah, we got at least 4 more games of hockey left, at least. I mean, at the bare minimum, we're at least going to have 4 more games of Caps hockey. I'm pretty sure we're going to get to 7, though. If you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, all you have to do is tweet to us. Tweet to us during a game, after a game, before a game. If you're bored at work, just talk to us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoach, and you can also find some of my what is now rather vintage writing.
Archives.
And maybe someday some of my new stuff, but you can actually find some very fantastic stuff over CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, I'm going to guess you haven't gotten any recently.
No, but I did go to a baseball card outlet, and they had a lot of cool bobbleheads, but they're very expensive.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's insane. I have a Manny Machado dressed as a pirate, and I have 2, so I have an extra one, and I looked on eBay. Those things are going for $60 a pop.
Why is he dressed as a pirate?
It was a minor league thing. I don't know why. It's a pirate
day. Actually, that's all you need to say. Uh-huh. Makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Minor leagues. They're crazy. Got it. I'm right there with you, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, that's really weird. But yeah, that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon... Tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment.
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment and What the Puck. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. Then go over to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast and follow us on Twitter at @WTP_podcast. We're going to continue doing the Facebook Live videos, the instant reaction shows, as much as we can. Coach Dan and I do have some stuff coming up, so it might limit us throughout this next series, but we are going to do our best. So the best thing to do, like us over on Facebook, and you will know when we are going to do a show. We will announce it beforehand so you guys can take part in the show as well. But I'm liking the Facebook Live instant reactions. I think it gives that raw emotion, because after like a day or so, when after I did my instant reaction, I was like, maybe it was a little too hard on the Caps. I mean, they played a good game. But
I would screw those guys.
I was really ticked after the last one. But that's good. That's why we're doing the instant reaction, because we're feeling it right then and there. I really dig that. So make sure you go like us over on Facebook and Twitter. Now, guys, we do this show for free. You listen and stream and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about What the Puck. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Periscope and every other place you are social on the web. Say, I'm a Caps fan. I listen to What the Puck. And you should too. Get on the bandwagon. All right, guys, let's talk about when we are going to see some Caps hockey. Game one of the semifinals for the Stanley Cup. The Capitals are up against the Penguins in D.C. That game is on April 28th, NBC Sports, 8 o'clock. Game two, Capitals staying at home. This is going to be on April 30th on NBC, primetime broadcast television. That is at 8 o'clock. Game 3, May 2nd, Capitals in Pittsburgh on NBC Sports, 8 o'clock. Game 4 is May 4th, Capitals at Penguins, NBC Sports, 8 o'clock. A lot of primetime games. Not taking any breaks on the weekend. No mid-afternoon games. This is all nighttime. So I hope the Capitals are ready. That's the first four games for Caps Penguins. This is familiar territory, even though these are two very different teams. They're very familiar with each other. They don't like each other. Expect some fireworks. Expect some melted ice. Expect some bad emotions. Expect a lot of good, fun hockey. Fun for us. Maybe not always fun for the people on the ice, because they are going to hurt each other. That's what we know. All right, guys, that is it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.